hungry for sport. Greg Denham. For Supergroups, Kubota Excavator Finance deals on now.
And Greg, of course, has always brought you all thanks to the Spread Eagle Hotel. Greg, good morning.
G'day, Kev. You just worked out that Rossi boy is a pretty good coach, have you?
No, I've always thought he's an outstanding coach. But again, just looking at Freo last night, I just wonder whether they're able to win a premiership without having one really damaging big key forward.
Yeah, well, look, if you watched last night, you would have thought that Pav's almost passed it. It was interesting, actually, because Pavlich has had 14 possessions, but they weren't very telling. Mayne's had 22, but his kicking lets him down. Hanneth is probably not the answer as that resting ruckman that can kick you one or two goals. They do need Tabiner back in form and playing, and I think probably even maybe Clark in the ruck, Zach Clark. But it's been done before. I'm sure they'd wish that they didn't have, like, West Coast got Kennedy and Darling. I mean, if Freo had one of those, I think they'd be odds-on flag favourites right now. But it's been done before. Like, West Coast in 2006 won a flag with their key forwards being, and no disrespect.
Well, that was the game against Sydney.
Yeah.
But one side kicked one goal before half-time and one kicked one goal after half-time.
Still won a flag, Kevin. It's in the record book,
one
right?
One of those boringest grand finals of all time. It was close, but it was boring.
Well, that's your opinion, all right? I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, come on, Greg.
Kevin, Ash Hansen and
two best sides in the competition couldn't kick a goal.
Mate, that's just what happens sometimes. I mean, you know, you won a flag. They're in the record books. Yeah, they won a flag.
They won the flag, Greg. But anyway, tell me it was a great game.
It was a great game. Hansen and Lynch were West Coast
because it was a grand final was hinging on it. If it had been round five, you wouldn't.
You should just sit here and talk by yourself, I reckon, half the time. Hansen and Lynch, two key forwards. You wouldn't exactly say they were match winners. Sydney won it again in 2012 with Sam Reed and Adam Goods. You wouldn't exactly say they were household names as key forwards. I think they kicked a goal each in that grand final. So it can be done. If anyone's going to do it, it'll be Rossi boy.
It can be
done. And don't go back and tell me that when Freo lost their only grand final appearance by kicking 8 goals, I think 14, you know yourself that their kicking was so atrocious it could have even been 14 goals 8 and they would have beaten Hawthorn.
Well, but on that, now Ross is a great coach, but in the 4 grand finals...
Can't kick for them though. And well, don't go back. Don't go back to the previous 3 grand finals with St Kilda. No. We're talking about Fremantle
because we're talking about the ability to kick goals in grand finals, and they've kicked what 8, 9 twice, I think, and 10 once, and that was the grand final they drew with Collingwood, and then finally lost the replay grand final. So it is important that you can actually kick enough goals to actually win the grand final, Greg.
I do realise that. I think most of your listeners would realise that too, Kevin. But I'm saying something you can get away with it, as I pointed out, 2 examples in the last 10 years.
Now, if you're back for Collingwood, I'd like to hear from the Pies fans because there was a big test for Collingwood last night.
Oh, look, they were very good.
And they came through that test last night.
Yeah, they were very good.
I think they should have won the game. How did they...
I don't. If you look at the absolute... entries, forward 50 entries of Fremantle, I think it was particularly in the third quarter, they were atrocious. They were missing targets by 10 metres. I think they could have stitched the game up, and the time on factor in both in a couple of quarters
killed Collingwood.
Really helped
second
Fremantle.
Second quarter,
yeah.
A couple of seconds ago, they gave up a goal. Third quarter, a couple of seconds ago, gave up a goal. They gave up a goal at the start of the game within about, 15 or 20 seconds?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Collingwood's forward line wasn't exactly on fire last night.
No, they
either.
Struggled. So, and White had a chance to kick an important goal.
Such a unreliable player under pressure. I mean, he's missed last night. It was just... That could have really sprung it open. But, I mean, he does that week in and week out, so that's nothing new. Collingwood know what they've got with him. Cloke got most of his touches up the ground, I think.
Why was he so far up the ground?
No, I don't know. I don't know. He played okay. It's just that he didn't kick goals. I mean, he had a pretty good opponent. Maybe one of his tasks last night was to run away from McFarlane, keep McFarlane away from goals. But, no, I don't know. But Collingwood were okay, and I think that at least... they matched it with the top 4 team. I think that'll give them some confidence going. They've got Hawthorn this week, which is going to be very, very tough again. But I think Buckley's got something to work with. And when you look at those players that didn't play last night, the Reeds, et cetera, et cetera, I think that we will see a different Collingwood team, especially in key positions,
so does Ben
towards
Reed play
the end
forward
of the year.
When he comes back?
He has to play key forward. Yeah.
Key forward?
He has to.
So is he the X factor for Collingwood if he gets
well,
back?
Well, if
he
can get White out and play Reed, I think you've got half a chance.
Okay, well, Pie fans, give us your thoughts on that. If Reed comes back, if he does get back, does he play forward? Also, this is what Nathan Buckley had to say, because maybe they could have won that game last night, Greg, but he claims there was a breakdown in communication in the last final 15 minutes of the game.
Structurally, at the end of the, towards the end of the last quarter, really the last 15 minutes of the last quarter, we just weren't able to get clean communication to our on-field leaders to be able to square up numbers, which we thought was a significant factor in that last 15.
Now, well, so what was the breakdown then?
Well, I actually started thinking, what's he talking about?
Didn't
did the phone? Yeah, did your phone break down or something? But I think it's the Paul Ruse Melbourne syndrome that I don't know between the Bucks, the runner, the bench.
But he said in the final 15 minutes,
and the
not,
players.
Not the final 40
well, I
seconds.
I'm stunned. I do not know. I honestly thought that people weren't allowed to give messages on the field when he said that, because otherwise, that is doesn't speak very well of Collingwood's communication at all.
Can I throw this scenario to you, Greg, as well,
mm-hmm.
Before we go to a break and we come back with our callers? Fremantle's on top, West Coast, of course, second at the
yes.
moment.
Flying Western Australia.
Of course, we've never ever had a Derby Grand Final before.
Never had a Derby Final.
I'm not quite certain how it would be received in Melbourne at the MCG with Frio playing West Coast in a Grand Final. Although we did have big crowds when Sydney played, but Sydney, of course, being the old South Melbourne. I was just wondering, what is the Grand Final from hell to our fans? What would be the Grand Final from hell to be played at the MCG? The one Grand Final you would not like to see played at the MCG, because they're building a big ground over there at Burswood, aren't they?
Yeah.
Finished in, yep. what, 2018 or something
oh,
like
it's
that?
It's taking longer than they took to build the pyramids, Kevin. I can't believe it.
So I know that we've always got the Grand Final at the MCG for, I don't know, another 30 or 40 years or so.
Forever. Just say forever.
But
yep.
If they were able to play the Grand Final over in Perth, if it's West Coast against Frio, would that be the biggest sporting event ever in the history of Western Australia?
Would go past the America's Cup, I reckon. Definitely. Yeah, that would absolutely be it. The Grand Final from Hell would probably
Grand Final from Hell?
GWS versus another interstate team.
No, we've got to tell me which two sides would be the Grand Final
Brisbane
from Hell.
Brisbane GWS,
Brisbane.
I guess.
Oh, no, look, I don't know about Brisbane.
Or maybe not,
because there's a Fitzroy element there.
Okay, well, say you would have to say probably Adelaide then. Maybe Adelaide.
What, Adelaide and the Giants?
But you're talking something that won't be happening for probably another 4 years.
Well, I'm just saying in the future, what's going to be the Grand Final?
Well, get used to it, because as I said to you, there will be no other Melbourne teams playing in the Grand Final probably other than Hawthorn for the next 10 years, certainly winning it.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll take your call. Greg has joined us. Greg Venom Denham, we're taking your calls. Stumbling at Friday Sports Chat with DC Dave Cobbett. We'll catch up with Barmy over in the West as well. Dave Loudon, Sport in the Media. Scotty Lucas is going to join us. He'll join us for Friday Football Focus, looking at the big game. And you can have your last say. Get something off your chest leading into midday as well. Snapper, he's out there early in Port Phillip Bay. G'day, Snapper.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we going?
Good.
That's good. Look, last night's game, I got KB, I'm with you. It was boring. Honestly, I had the game going and I was on the phone or the iPad or the laptop. I couldn't watch it. It was so boring. Stoppages. The Richmond Frio game was a lot more exciting, because obviously Richmond play an exciting brand of football. And the thing I want to bring up with that, and this is why I'm glad Carlton got Malthouse, with a minute to go, you'd think Sibiaco being a long ground, you'd run up the corridor and take the game on. But instead, Collingwood opted to go for a long kick towards the boundary line, which resulted in a Frio win because they caused another stoppage through the boundary throw-in. And that is why I give Carlton a lot of hope when we go to Frio in 4 weeks' time, because our style now is through the corridor, take the game on. And when you do that, and Richmond proved it, when you do that against Frio, they can't stop you, because they're a hard team. To basically match with when they go stopping.
I think you're getting ahead of yourself, Snapper. Fair dinkum. You've still got to overcome Brisbane on the week, Gold Coast on the weekend. I'm not so sure about that myself. But look, the game was anything but boring last night, and I'm surprised that a Carlton supporter would ring up after the stuff you've watched this year and say that was boring. But anyway, no, that's your thought.
There's
Snapper.
a lot of games and a lot of coaching where, you know, you limit the opposition. We'll kick 9 goals in a very defensive game, and the opposition can kick 8, or we kick 10 and you kick 9.
Well, the conditions weren't.
But can I ask you, Greg,
would
you rather see a game where 9 goals wins a game against the opposition kicking 8, or would you like to see 19 goals to 18 goals?
I don't really care if, as long as I'm, as long as my club wins. I really don't care.
I care.
I think that
not, I like to see scoring.
You talked about this last week, and I do like to see heavy scoring. It's terrific the way that we can go from one end to the other. That's our game.
It's more enjoyable, don't you think, watching a game?
Yeah, but it's a
boring. If you're talking about being a great game, it's more enjoyable if there's scoring taking place.
You're forgetting last night that every second player slipped over. It's amazing, really, last night.
Well, put some screwing stops.
Well, I still, Ross Lyon after the game mentioned that he had no idea why the players pick their particular boot selections. But, I mean, it is the land of the long lawn.
Well,
I mean, everyone's got a quarter acre,
boot stuff,
mostly green boot lawn. Stuff. And some of the players said after the game they were taken surprised by the dewy conditions. I mean, they live there, for God's sake. I was stunned by that. So it wasn't pristine conditions to kick a big score last night. A lot of people fell over and there was a lot of players around the ball because of that.
Andre is in Thomastown. G'day, Andre.
G'day, KB. G'day. Look, I reckon you're right. I'm a Collingwood supporter and I'm shattered. I thought when we went forward, we didn't do it with any real fluidity. And I think we leaked goals at inopportune times and just threw the game away, like in the red time of each quarter, giving away two goals.
That was a pretty big concern, wasn't it? I think that Walters was the culprit for you a couple of times
both
there.
Both times, I think. Well, he certainly kicked the first goal after about 20 seconds.
It's quite funny when commentators also, you know, you've got 2 minutes of play to go and they start getting comfortable with themselves and talking about, well, that's probably a fair margin, the game, 8 points to Collingwood, etc. Bang, goal to Fremantle. And then, what are they talking about?
But I reckon, Andre, that just watching the game last night, I kept thinking Collingwood's going to win this game. I just kept thinking Collingwood was going to win.
I don't know why you'd be thinking that.
Well, I just didn't think that Frio were going to kick any goals, Greg. I mean, in the end, they kicked.
Well, you obviously weren't watching. You weren't watching the same game that I was watching.
They kicked two of their goals with seconds to go in the second and third quarter.
Butchered the ball going into their forward 50.
Patrick is in Ascot Vale. G'day, Patrick.
G'day, KB. Look, I just want to talk about the game last night. Obviously, when I look at Frio, I think the stoppages definitely were the reason why they won. But I also think the dynamic of Frio's back line, having Dawson and Johnson out of the team, has really upset them. And the other question is Paul Duffield. I think he should be playing in their team, especially with his decision-making and skills.
They've got a few blokes out. Mazungu's another one.
They got dropped.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They've got a few blokes out. Duffield.
Kevin got dropped too.
Yeah. And, Kevin, please, we all read the paper.
Yeah. Well, Duffield, don't try and tell us they're
Duffield, Mazungu.
They're good if they're being dropped.
No, I'm just saying they've got a few players that have been playing pretty much every game for the last 3 years under Rossi Boy that can't get a gig at the moment.
They won last week, Patrick, too, Frio, when they played against Gold Coast, simply through Sandlands, because Gold Coast had them on toast. They were inside 50 for that long, and boundary throw-ins and ball up and stoppages, but Sandlands just kept jumping up, tapping the ball down at his feet. All the Dockers players would fall on top of the ball and then they just wasted time and time.
How good? His tap-outs last night were great, but how good was his second effort on his hands and knees with the handball several times? I thought he was outstanding last night.
Did he actually kick the ball last night at all, Sandlands?
I'm not sure.
No, he never kicked the ball once last night.
No.
Had 17 handballs.
Yeah, fantastic.
Is that the first time anyone's ever had 17 handballs or double figures in a game and never, ever kicked the ball?
Possibly is, Kev.
If anyone can come up with anyone, beat Sandland's record last night. Did he have a sore foot? What about the big toe? Was the big turf toe, was that hurting or something?
Oh, I think the big turf toe is long gone, Kev.
Is it? James is in Altona Meadows. G'day, James.
Morning, KB and Greg. I'd like to make a comment on Alan Richardson's complaining that the St Kilda couldn't elevate Jesse Sinclair. They had a choice whether to elevate it, and they went down the path of promoting an experienced guy. Second point is,
yes,
when teams have more than 10 players that are, when they're playing against other teams that have got five senior players, they can't be considered a young team anymore. And the final point, if the Western Bulldogs are fair income, and we got an open sessions on Tuesday, the cafeteria should be open at all times for the patrons to buy some coffee, because in the afternoon it's very cold.
Oh, that's interesting. So the Gordon, the Mr. Mrs. Gordon and Mrs. Montgomery weren't there.
Well, obviously
at the cafe.
Look, I don't know the opening hours, but obviously just listening then to James, it's opened in the morning and they're obviously sometime in the afternoon they close up. A lot of little cafes do that, don't they?
I don't know what how they work it out at the Western Oval, Witten Oval, sorry.
But Snyder was elevated because of his experience and his on-field leadership.
Well, Richardson said that he was like a second coach out on the field, so that's why.
But it doesn't change the point, and I agree with Alan Richardson that the rookie list has got to be changed so that those players can actually play if they're good enough throughout the course of the season. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls. You can have a chat to Greg down at the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. Of course, they've got the cosy open fireplaces down there. They've got the footy on the four big screens. It's growing down there. Four big screens now. And also, don't forget, big news is that the food is so popular. Upstairs is also open for dinner with the private dining rooms available as well. 94286895. Give the Spread Eagle Hotel a call.
Great art comes out of a level of frustration. And when I was in Amsterdam, I did go to Van Gogh's museum. And I'm not an art critic. There's a man with great frustration. And I looked at that painting, Sunflower, and for a bogan from Hamilton like myself, I could actually see beauty in that frustration. So although our fans are frustrated, we're frustrated, we like to think there's some masterpieces still to be painted this year.
Well, there's Bill Walsh calling himself a bogan from Hamilton, and
what are we coming
Van
to?
Gogh, and out of frustration can come masterpieces.
Well, the only difference is that Van Gogh didn't have Patrick Dangerfield to pose for him, Kevin, and I suggest that the bogan from Hamilton is getting the Adelaide fans ready. They were the first signs yesterday, damage control, getting them ready for the loss of Dangerfield to Geelong next year. That's the only reason that came out. I mean, that was fair dinkum. Will that make Patrick's goose or gibberish or whatever he calls it next week? It's got to go close, surely. That's
that was quite refreshing.
Arty farty, please.
Well, you're allowed to be an art critic, and even though he doesn't know a lot about art, but he could look at it and he could see there was frustration in that painting, but it was a masterpiece. I thought it was a nice little analogy that he was posing.
Fair dinkum.
You didn't like that,
Chris? No.
Didn't like
wishy
that.
Washy.
Do you like Thursday night football?
I love it.
I sat there last night. I wonder if the rest of the fans sat there last night thinking it was Friday night.
Is that why you were late this morning?
I wasn't late this morning, but I kept sitting there. And I had to keep reminding myself it was only Thursday night. But I think it's a great winner to sit at home on a Thursday night and just sit in front of the fire and watch the footy. I think it's going to be an absolute killer dilla when they come to the media rights.
I reckon it is. I reckon we'll have. There's every
I'll
chance.
Ask Dave Loudon about that.
In 2 years' time, we've got five this year. I reckon we might get close to 10 in 2017.
George joins us in Northcote. G'day, George.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, two things. The horror grand final for me would be GWS and Gold Coast.
GWS, Gold Coast.
Yeah. The second thing is, look, I tend to agree with Greg KB that Ross Lyon's style, I know it's defensive, but if you look at the inside 50s, he does get it in there 40-plus, and he does try to score many goals. And if you look back at St Kilda's grand finals, I mean, if it was a dry weather track, the 2009 grand final, I mean, it was one of the coldest and wettest grand finals. Gil would have beaten Geelong because they had Riewoldt up there with Cozzy and Milne. So, I mean, watching them over the years, they do score heavily the home and away, but it's just they just lack, you know, especially the grand finals, teams are very defensive, there's a lot of pressure. And, you know, sides do go out there on a purpose to score a lot of goals.
Well, I've always thought that they're a side that when you play against Frio, that they don't hurt you a lot on the scoreboard when they're absolutely dominating the game. They can be dominating a game. And just talking to other people from other clubs, Greg, they think that way too. They think that when you play against Frio, they can be well on top and they can be dominating. But you look at the scoreboard and you think, you know what, we're only three goals down. We're only two goals down.
Is it dominating?
Only 14 points. Down. Well,
are they gettable or are they just teasing the opposition?
Well, I think the opposition always thinks that there's a chance. If they can kick two or three quick goals, all of a sudden they're going to be back in the game.
Yeah, look, Frio.
They were handball crazy last night, Fred.
Oh, a little bit early.
I reckon at the start
early.
Of the game, I reckon in the first quarter, they must have had close to 50 handballs in the first quarter.
Yeah, a little bit early. But, I mean, Frio have kicked, I think, five scores this year of more than 100 points. I think you play them down.
They're a 10 or 12 goal side, aren't they?
Well, I'm just saying, five times this year they've scored over 100 points. And A lot of clubs don't even get that far.
Adrian is in Rosebud. G'day, Adrian.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good,
Adrian.
You?
You a Collingwood fan?
Yes, I am. And there's a couple of things. No one's mentioned yet anything about the few dodgy decisions in the last quarter. The Walters free kick, there was nothing in that. I've had a good look at that three or four times. Nothing in that.
Ooh, and I disagree.
And the ground was really wet. It was. That definitely attributed to the conditions. Definitely didn't help the style of game, because I've heard everyone talking about that. So, and Snapper's a deal. He's got to really get with the program. The other thing is, you know, we've got Ben Reed to come back. We've got Greenwood to come in. So we've got a lot of good talent to come yet. And Jesse White has to go. For sure. He cost us the game.
Look, if Ben Reed comes back, I can recall when he played up forward there one stage with Travis Cloak, and, you know, he was kicking four goals in a game. He would give you some... He's a good kick for goal. He'd give you some goal-scoring opportunities, no doubt about that. Ben Reed's a very good player. But, again, he's a bit like some of the other players that are good players. But if they're never playing, Greg, you just wonder how good they're going to be when they actually come back, because they haven't played for such a long time. And then can they get continuity of game? So I reckon you keep your fingers crossed. Greenwood's a good player. He was a good player with North Melbourne.
He'll
add their midfield.
True, but the midfield's not really the problem for Collingwood at the moment.
No.
So,
but he'll add to it.
Yeah, he will. Sure. He will.
Was Fife Brownlow medal votes last night?
Oh, I would have got, for me, probably second best. I thought Hill was best. I thought he was probably second best. And then I thought, you know, either Walters or Sandilands. I didn't actually, in top three, I didn't give Collingwood a vote. You could have.
Just watching it on TV, so it's a little bit harder because you don't get the full picture. But it seemed to me that Crisp maybe was the player that was, I didn't take yesterday.
He was good too.
You've got to try and shut him down.
Very good.
So Crisp was there, but he wasn't such a hard tag, was he?
No, no.
And then when he went forward, was it Tuvey down back that picked him up?
Early, yep.
But again, do you think that's the right tactics on someone like Fife? I mean, to go head-to-head? Or... I said yesterday, every player is taggable. You've got to try and limit these star players. Now, if you had have limited Fife last night to 22 possessions...
Easier said than done, Kev, though.
Well, I'm
easier
saying...
Easier said
it's
than
not
done.
Not easy, I know that, Greg.
Yeah.
But if you've got someone who's not giving him a hard tag and he's minding him and playing his own game, because Crisp has been very good this year, but is that enough against someone like Fife? In terms of winning the game?
Well, blokes like Buckley, et cetera, are much cleverer than me. And I think that, you know, Fife was reasonably quiet in the first half, but came good later. But gee whiz, maybe he is untaggable.
No one's untaggable. Craig is from Elwood. G'day, Craig. G'day, Craig.
Hello. Yep. Kev, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
I rang you a couple of weeks ago and you were not convinced with Collingwood making the eight. I still think we are going to make the eight. However, we do need Reed back, and I think Jesse White will make way. But a lot of people are also forgetting about McCaffer. He's got to come back in as well, and he's a pretty good tagger. So he'll be he would have been on Fife, I would have believed, yesterday if he had played. And Reed would have played. Reed would have played if it was in Melbourne, but he'll definitely play next week. And the Snapper, I think he's been out on the boat too much, so he needs to take a bit more of a...
We've got a bit of a fishy problem today. Where's Trout, Kev?
I don't know. Trout disappeared.
Once you get rolled tonight, Richmond by Sydney, will you actually get back into the top eight before the end of the year, do you reckon? Long way to go, but you won't be in the eight after this round.
No,
so
they could drop out of the
will you be
look,
able
that's
to fight
a tough
back?
Game playing against Sydney up at the SCG. So, you know, I'm happy to say that, you know, it'd be maybe a bit of an upset if the Tigers got up and beat Sydney, but still very capable of making the eight, Greg.
Okay, just wondered.
Just because they're out of the side. See, Tom Derricks has come in.
Big Tom's back in.
Against
poor old Mike
club.
Pike's done a knee, so I don't know how bad it is. But Tommy Derricks
back
in.
Got Hawthorn next week, Collingwood. Then they've got Port Adelaide, West Coast at Etihad. And then the Western Bulldogs. So there's a tough run coming up. Melbourne, who have been very competitive. Now Carlton getting competitive too. Then they finish with the Sydney Swans, Richmond, Geelong and the Bombers. So, but the Pies...
They can make the eight. They'll still make the eight.
A big surprise packet. I think alongside West Coast Eagles, they've been the surprise packets of the year.
Oh, I think the Bulldogs are the surprise packet of the year. But I do agree, West Coast.
Okay, throwing the Bulldogs as well.
Yeah, yep. Those three.
A break, 9429 1116. Coming back with Greg Venom Denham and your call.
You can catch up with Greg, of course, at the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. They've got the footy on the four big screens down there. They've got the fantastic popular food. Of course, upstairs is open now for dinner as well. They've got the private dining rooms available. 9428 6895. 9428 6895.
give the Spread Eagle Hotel a call. Greg, I just want to get, a lot of people want to know your tip. Sydney versus Richmond?
Oh, Sydney.
I'm tipping Sydney too. Hawthorn versus the Bombers?
Hawthorn.
Same here. Brisbane versus Adelaide?
Crows.
Crows. Saints against the Bulldogs. That's a hard one.
Had to give it a bit of thought. No, I don't know. Maybe the Bulldogs. See, Morris is back. Good on him.
Yes, I've gone for the Bulldogs in a close one. And Carlton against the Gold Coast. I went for the Blues.
I think Gold Coast will cause an upset this week.
What about Ablett? What's happening there, Greg?
Don't know.
What's the latest?
Stop playing.
What's the latest with Ablett?
I don't know. I read that Rocket Eade said he needs one more week on the track to get his confidence back. So that's all I know, what I read. I don't know. Everyone said he trained well enough to play this week. But look, it was interesting, you know, listening to even Bomber Thompson during the week about the fact that he has to be more than probably 100%, you know, fit and confident, etc. Then he'll go. So he's waiting one more week.
Muzza is in Mernda. G'day, Muzza.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good,
thanks,
you?
Muzz.
Yeah, Greg, I've got a couple of questions for you, mate. I'm a Legends member. I've been a Legends member for about 10 years, Collingwood member. I've been listening to you all morning. You have not praised our young side that went out last night. I was very proud of Collingwood last night.
You haven't been listening close enough because I said they were fantastic.
And then you go, they were okay. To me, okay is not good enough. To me, they were fantastic. I reckon we've got a lot of young kids coming through that team. Still Schoenberg, Moore, Freeman. This team, I'm telling you, in the next couple of years, are going to be very dangerous.
Oh, look, I totally agree with you. You obviously had to go and get a cup of tea or something, Muzz, because I did say a lot of those things. And I actually thought you played probably, I don't know, 30% better than when you beat GWS before the bye. I was at the MCG that day, and I thought that they sort of almost could have run away from you in the second quarter. No, I thought Collingwood were very, very gallant last night.
Well, Taylor Adams, he had 29 possessions, and also Jack Crisp finished with 20, 18 to Broomhead. They've got some good young players. Langdon, again, in his second season, playing well across half-back.
Even though Sandy
Lands
was
able to rack up some possessions as well. So they've got a lot of good young kids, Collingwood.
Sandy Lands was fantastic, but Witts wasn't. He's still a chance to prove it.
DeGoey looks like he's going to be a goer.
Yeah. I mean, yes, there's a lot of young kids at Collingwood. And as Mar said, more to come.
You said before that Fife, Greg, was quiet in the first half.
First Greg quarter-ish.
Greg, Fife had 15 touches and 2 goals in the first half.
He should have had 25, Kevin. He's that good. Come on, move on.
So, do you want to apologise that
Fife... move on. Rubbish.
He wasn't quiet in the first half, was he?
He started the game a lot quieter. And I think even I heard Big Baz in the broadcast say, which I nearly fell over, that he has poor games. His poorest games are after a bye. A lot of homework went into that one.
Raymond is in East Doncaster. G'day, Raymond.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, just on the Reed and Jesse White, I think Reed would be the better choice. He's younger. I think he's more agile. And... I think Collingwood last night, being a Collingwood supporter, I reckon they put in a pretty good effort and the future looks really good for us.
Yep, totally agree. No, plenty. I said earlier that he's got a lot to work with down there, Bucks, and I'm sure when the big bopper finally gets back from wherever he's away for a while, but I think that he'll agree with you, Kevin.
There was a lot of Collingwood fans who were very critical of Nathan Buckley when he took over. I just wonder now whether those Collingwood fans can see... You know, the picture,
light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and the picture that Nathan is painting for the Collingwood Football Club and the direction that he's going in with, you know, the young players and the way that he's trying to balance up his side. So if you had been maybe initially a critic of Nathan Buckley, maybe now that you're an admirer, 9429 1116. Dennis is in Oakley. G'day, Dan.
Good morning, Kev. Morning, Greg.
Good morning. G'day, Dennis.
Just on the game last night from a Maggie perspective.
Yep.
A game of seconds and inches, and didn't we miss Dame Beams last night? For the first time, I think you could see when quality is removed from a club in a really tight game that, having Beamsy there would have made a huge difference. But having said that, you spent some time, and your callers have spent some time, pointing out the quality which is coming through, like DeGoey, who is a Beams trade, or rather a get, Crisp.
That was part of Beams?
Yeah. They're going to be magnificent footballers for the club. When 17, I think, Kev, will be a top four team.
Well, you've got Darcy Moore. Everyone tells me Darcy Moore is a terrific young player. Sharon Berg, we hear about, you know, all the time from Collingwood fans, that he's a young kid who's got enormous ability, who's had a lot of troubles with his legs or his feet, that he's another one that's going to come into this Collingwood side. So there is certainly a lot of building taking place at Collingwood. So they could be in for a very good, you know, next 5 to 7 years.
There was a lot of discussion last night, Dennis, like your opinion here, that maybe Oxley wasn't the bloke to be taking off and substituted out of the game. Maybe it should have been an Elliott or a Blair, maybe. What did you think?
Sack was the one I would have removed.
Who would you, sorry?
Goldsack.
Okay, interesting.
I would have taken him out very, very early. He made a lot of bad areas. You know, I think Goldie, he's been a wonderful servant for the club, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think he's there when I think the club's at its peak in round about 17, and nor do I think Jesse White. But last night, I would have held Oxley on, put him on the forward line.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have taken Elliott off. I don't know who would have suggested to take Elliott off because, you know, he's an X factor for Collingwood. He's a dangerous player. Someone who jumps up, takes a spectacular mark, kicks your goal. We saw him last night, you know, kick that beautiful goal on the left boot. So he's one of those dangerous players. You never quite know, Greg, when he's going to jump up and kick you 2 or 3 goals. So anyone who suggests that you should take Elliott off last night, I think is talking gibberish. Well, you suggested it.
I said there's been discussion over it. I'm just saying that there's people that thought that Oxley should have stayed on, basically.
We'll take a break, 9:42, 9:16. Also coming up, Friday Sports Chat. Hopefully we'll touch base with Neil Baum over in WA. Dave Colbert will join us, DC. Of course, Mr. Delusional always has the big issue. Scotty Lucas will join us for Friday Football Focus. Of course, today, Richo off to the races. We've sent him for a spell. He's up in Queensland, enjoying a week off, and then he'll be back fresh. And able to deliver some value. He was pretty good last week, Richo. He had 1 winner, 3 seconds, and 2 thirds. So not good enough for me, though, Greg. I just sent him away, put him in the paddock for a spell. He'll come back next week better and bigger and more explosive than ever. Get something off your chest also coming up in the last hour of the show as well. Some SMSs are saying 5 crazy we are. Got best on from every media outlet. Lockie Neal easily the best last night. That's from a Collingwood fan. Ideally, Collingwood needs a full forward. Reed better defender. Cloak suited at centre-half forward. And also on a scale of 1 to garbage, how bad do you think the umpiring was last night, Greg?
Don't talk about umpires, Kevin. You know that. All the mums out there, have a great school holidays. Good start today.
Sit on the fence, why don't you, Greg? You'll get
splintered. Good luck. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Who did the umpires favour last night, Greg?
Oh, Collingwood early, for sure.
Coming up, DC Dave Colbert, Friday Sports Chat, 9:42, 9:16. Barmy from WA.